Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production.
Now available on Apple Podcasts,
Podcast One,
Spotify,
and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the Feel Good Podcast with Kimberly Snyder. My goal is to help you develop a holistic lifestyle based on our four cornerstone philosophy: food, body, emotional well-being, and spiritual growth. This holistic approach will help you feel good, which I define as being connected to your most authentic, highest self. And this is the place from which your energy, confidence, creativity, true power, and true beauty will start to explode. Every week, we provide you with interviews from top experts in their field or a solo cast from yours truly to support you in living your most beautiful, healthy, and joyful life. I'm your host, Kimberly Snyder, founder of Saluna, New York Times bestselling author, and holistic wellness, nutrition, and meditation teacher. Let's get started. Hey, beauties, welcome back to our Monday interview podcast, where I'm so excited for a very special beauty that we have on our show today. Her name is Kelly Noonan Gores, and she is the writer, director, and producer of Heal, a documentary feature about the mind-body connection and our body's innate ability to heal. I don't know if you have seen this documentary yet on Netflix, but it is absolutely wonderful. This powerful woman dedicated so much of her energy into putting together this wonderful resource. And she and I were able to connect actually at an intimate circle that I had at my home. Our mutual friend, Danica Patrick, brought Kelly to the circle and we just hit it off right away. She is such an incredible, beautiful, bright light. She's a beautiful energy. And of course, the circle was safe and it was outside and socially distanced, I will say, but it sparked something and you know, we connected more and we started to talk about the film. And I wanted to share this conversation with all of you because she is so wonderful at showing what's possible and putting together great thought leaders and so many different teachers and researchers. And yeah, she has a lot of wisdom to share. So I'm really, really excited for you to listen to our interview today. Before we get going, I want to give a quick shout out to our fan of the week. Her name is Andrea Daly 21. She writes, "Kimberly, thank you so much for all you do. My life has changed so much since reading your books. This podcast is the icing on the cake. I appreciate this so much and all the information you give so freely. Thank you. Thank you so much." Oh, Andrea Daly 21, I send you a huge hug. I felt that right in my heart. Thank you. Thank you so much, love, for being in our community, for taking the time to write a review. It means the world to me. So thank you. And I hope we get to meet in person one day. And beauties, for your chance to also be shouted out as the fan of the week, please leave us a review over on iTunes, which is free and easy and just a wonderful way to support the show. While you're at it, you can also subscribe to the show because in the busy flow of life, we often forget certain things. And that way you never miss any of these interview podcasts or Thursday Q&A shows. So all that being said, let's get into our interview right now with the wonderful Kelly. It's so good to see you, love. Thank you again so much for coming on the podcast. We met a couple months ago, weeks ago, time is so funny, at one of my circles. And it was amazing, amazing to have you and just to share. And it was just a great introduction. I felt like we connected right away.
Oh my gosh, that circle was so powerful. Like, I think it was on the new moon, maybe, or yes, the night for the new moon. And it was just, I mean, it was so cool.
Have you done a lot of circles before, Kelly?
I haven't actually. And the fact that, you know, you, myself, and one other of your friends that attended, we all picked the same word. It was really, yes, really cool.
Yes. So we do different, you know, primarily I've said they were women's circles, Kelly. Like, we do them with Saluna, we do them online. And then I do a lot of, in-person ones. And then a couple months ago when we could travel more, I was in New York and we had this big women's circle and someone brought her boyfriend. And then, you know, my team was like, well, what should we do? Should we tell him to leave? And I thought about it and I said, you know, why would we exclude someone just because they're a man? And so what happened was, you know, and I have two sons, and then my husband, John, is so into this too. So when we do circles at home, it's become a lot more co-ed. It's been like men and women. Mm-hmm. And it's really interesting when I think about, you know, the Me Too movement and all, you know, Justice Ginsburg, and now we have a female vice president. And, you know, sometimes I think about, you know, we want to empower women, but there's also unity and oneness. And how do we reconcile that? So it's just, you know, interesting as we go along.
Totally. And the, you know, the fact that all of us have the yin and the yang, and to find that balance, you know, it's so great that there's this whole, like, you know, futurist female and feminist movement right now. And that's awesome. And we need that. But I also think it's so beautiful. That circle was so balanced, you know, finding that balance in the individual and the community of just really finding that, you know, even with men, finding more, they're tapping into their feminine, and a lot of women also have so much, and this is true for me, I'm an Aries, but I'm also, just because of my childhood, I have a lot of masculinity and, like,
yes,
cue and action power. And sometimes I need to come back and, like, back tap into my femininity a little bit more.
That's right. I mean, we have it within ourselves, the masculine and the feminine, and then we have it in the collective. And I feel like healing comes from wholeness. So, you know, at first I was a little worried, like, will people be as vulnerable when there's men? But again, coming together and being real and open, I think heals all of us.
Totally.
So, you know, no pun intended, Kelly, but I love the documentary Heal, your documentary. It's so from the heart, and it's so genuine, and I think it's so accessible. So first of all, thank you so much for putting such beautiful work into the world. Mm-hmm. I imagine it was a tremendous amount of work.
It was documentaries, especially with not a huge budget. You know, it's there's so many moving parts with film, and documentaries don't really have, you can have a general structure, but to not know the ending, it's all unfolding. It's kind of a mystery of what's going to happen. So you don't know if you're going to film for a year, 5 years, 10 years, you know, so.
Right.
But it was, you know, it turned out to be just really divinely guided. And I was thankful that it came through me.
Yeah, amazing. So I love to hear, Kelly, like the back story, because I know you've been interested in consciousness for a long, long time. But I often find that there's something, you know, personal that draws us to a subject. So for instance, when I got into wellness, you know, I've had a lot of issues with my body, a lot of bloating and, you know, rosacea back in the day and eating disorders. And so, you know, I came in to heal myself. So can you tell us a little bit about, you know, where your interest in consciousness came from and this whole amazing subject?
I mean, you know, oh my gosh.
Yeah. Tell us the backstory and Beauty's Heal is on Netflix. You can easily access it. It's absolutely incredible. And it really encompasses, you know, Kelly, you could tell us more about it, obviously, but all these amazing healers and modalities and just a wider breadth of looking at care and rejuvenation beyond Western medicine. So.
Yeah, thank you. And actually, if you're listening to this after February of 2021, we're going to switch over to Amazon Prime. It's been on Netflix for 2 years and it's been amazing, but they're kind of pushing all the other content off and just doing their own content now. So we're going to have a new home, which is exciting.
Yeah, great.
but anyways, yeah, I mean, I think I've always really been fascinated in human potential and, like, what, you know, were capable of. And as I learned more about the intelligence of the human body, I just, you know, my mind just kept exploding, like, oh my gosh, you know, I learned about epigenetics and we're not victims of our genes. And that just fascinated me and lit up this whole passion inside me to do the film. But before that, I think I grew up acting. I grew up in LA. So, you know, started doing commercials and small roles in film and television when I was like 7 years old. And I loved acting, but part of me was like, you know, I wanted to be a normal kid. Like I didn't want to stick out too much. And so there was this battle, but I really loved it. And I think in my 20s, I was not having the career that I expected to have by that time, since I'd been doing it since 7 years old, and kind of took some time off and went to Berkeley and thought I would explore other things, and eventually came back. The calling came back to me to be in film. And in my 20s, I just felt like there were so many blocks in the way. So I actually started seeing healers to understand what is getting in the way? Why am I not able to be vulnerable? Why am I so self-conscious? What am I fearing? So it started out more, I think, psychological and emotional and energetic. And then in my late 20s, I started having like digestive issues, as many of us do, you know.
So much in the gut.
So much in the gut. And especially females, we hold a lot of our emotions in that area, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I considered myself a very bright person, but I wasn't aware of nutrition and like how what I was putting in my body was affecting my gut health, which is shocking, but just like until you're aware, you're not aware. You're in the dark. So I actually wanted to take, I was holding on to acting so tightly that I wanted to explore something else. I was interested. So I was toying with the idea of going to USM, which is the University of Santa Monica, which is a spiritual psychology degree.
Oh, wow.
Or taking this course from the Institute of Integrative Nutrition out of New York. And I decided to do that because it was shorter. It was like only a year. And I learned all about integrative nutrition and how, oh my gosh, you know, the reason I have acid reflux that the doctor wanted to give me Prilosec for to be on the rest of my life at age 28, as I'm running marathons and doing all these healthy, you know, quote unquote things. I learned that, you know, frozen yogurt and drinking Charles Shaw wine and eating cereal for breakfast, like dinner, like all these things are causing an acidic reaction in my body. So, you know, one thing led to another and I just woke up to, you know, the fact that our choices, our thoughts, beliefs, emotions, and lifestyle choices really affect our health and that we have so much more control and power over our health and well-being than we've been led to believe.
Yes.
And so that kind of set me on this path to do this film.
Wow. And one of the things, Kelly, I loved the film. There were so many interesting teachers and healers and characters. And one thing that kept coming up, whether it was Greg Braden talking about it or Joe Dispenza, was this idea of limiting beliefs and subconscious beliefs. I think that's, you know, it makes sense to a lot of us, but it's not easy to even know we have a limit. You know what I mean? Like you said, you knew when you knew, but what if we don't even know? Like the woman, I forget her name, but she had like boils all over her body. And when she started exploring, she started, you know, unpacking things with her mom and with her family. But a lot of us push things down or we repress. And sometimes we don't even remember, we don't know. So what would you say to someone, Kelly, that's like, you know, I love this. I'm really inspired to get to my subconscious beliefs that may be holding me back, but I don't know what they are.
Yeah, exactly. That's that whole tricky thing of subconscious. It's literally below our awareness.
Exactly. You know? How do we bring it up?
How do we bring that? I mean, there's so many modalities to kind of become aware. I mean, there's, I wouldn't even know. There's so many, you know, and watching the film, I mean, like hypnosis, you can, I don't know if you've ever done hypnosis, but that
actually
tap into working with a hypnotherapist. They can actually tap into your past and things that you've suppressed and repressed. And then they reframe the event to help you heal, you know, but you can, again, like they can help you become aware of things that you didn't even know happened because there was so much trauma that you know, repressed them. So there's, it's, you know, you start to just ask questions. It's that self-exploration. And what I always say is we do bring up a lot of modalities in the film. And I think that, you know, one of the things I encourage is people to really, we all have this internal guidance system. It's our intuition and it's our higher self speaking to us through that. And that will never lead us astray. You know, it's kind of a skill and a trick to learn to decipher between your gut, your intuition and, you know, something else. And with practice, you can tap into that, and understand it more. But I just, it's resonance. When you watch the film and something really resonates and jumps out at you, dive into that. That's your intuition. That's your guidance going, ooh, maybe that's something that's correct for me. If you set the intention that you want to, you know, understand these belief systems. We talk about in the film from ages zero to seven, we're just, the way our brain develops, we're just downloading programs and belief systems from our caretakers.
Yes.
So, and that they become like the software that's just running our lives so that we don't have to think about things. We can do things automatically. And that's 95% of our thoughts are this subconscious programming. So we really need to wake up to what these programs are.
Yes.
And Bruce Lipton says that 75% of them are negative and disempowering. And they're not even ours. We adopted them from our caretakers, you know? So getting to our core belief systems is the path and the gateway to healing and to freedom and all of that. So there's so many modalities and ways to do it. When you set the intention and you put it out there, things will come forward and you'll resonate with the right path for you to uncover that.
I 100% agree, Kelly. And I feel for me, one of the ways I unpacked some of my unconscious or subconscious deep down there beliefs was triggers. So I just started to notice as I went through, why does it bother me? So one of mine was not being heard or seen, you know, from different things that happened in my childhood. So, you know, someone would interrupt me or I felt like someone didn't acknowledge me. It really, really, really hurt. And as I became more conscious as an adult, I started to question, you know, why does this bother me so much? Why can this, you know, screw up the party or the day? So I think it's important to look at, and then, like you said, the intention of, I don't want to be sabotaged by thoughts. I want to explore this. So when we get to that point, like you said, different tools can come forward. But I think being open and feeling what feels like off or uneasy to us, like it just was happening so much. I thought, you know, this isn't normal. Like this isn't how I want to, not normal, but it just doesn't feel flow. This needs some kind of balancing.
Totally. I think triggers are the exact way to wake up, right? That why am I being triggered? This doesn't feel aligned, you know, so it's either you're being triggered because of a limiting belief system that really isn't in line with your aligned with your higher self, your soul, your purpose, or it's a past wound that you've stuffed down that you haven't dealt with, and it's coming to the surface to try to be healed. And that's why triggers are actually one of the best teachers, you know, and the best waker uppers, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Instead of pretending they're not there or distracting, but actually going in. So there's this, you know, I think, you know, when we want to be healed, when we choose, like you say, Kelly, there's this courage, I think, when you can stand and look, which can feel scary. And, you know, some of the characters in Heal, sometimes, you know, of course, like it's, you know, we're so used to distracting, we're so used to pulling away, but actually leaning in a little bit to the discomfort, I think is how we go through it.
100%. Yeah. Eva is the woman in the film that you talk about with the boils. And when I, you know, met her and she agreed to go on this journey and be filmed, she's very vulnerable. She had a lot of trauma in her past. And as you said, like it's scary. It takes a lot of courage to look at your wounds, because healing your wounds or bringing them up to the surface after they've been repressed or suppressed is just as painful as when the event first happened. So it takes a lot of courage, but there is light on the other side of going through that, you know, fire.
So Kelly, there's really amazing. I don't remember all their names, but just the way that people were healing, you know, physically healing energy and moving. And you were in the room for some of this. So, you know, there's all this discussion in the medical community and in the spiritual community about placebos versus actually moving energy. And of course, we don't really know the answer. And I guess in the end of the day, it doesn't really matter, because if you're using your mind to heal or to enact change, it doesn't matter. But I was watching this and I said, I can't wait to ask Kelly, you know, your opinion, Kelly, is it coming within us? Or do you believe that there are people that have, you know, medical intuitives,
medium.
Do you believe there are people that can help actually move energy through us if we actually give them permission?
I do believe. Like I said, I do think placebo and that the own, human's belief systems can really shift things within their own biology. When it comes to energy and people kind of facilitating, you know, removing entities or bad energy or healing past lives or even just doing energy healing that we see in the film, I do think, you know, just like with psychic, I think we all have a certain gift, but it's on this scale. And a lot of people come in and are just more sensitive in certain faculties, you know, where someone's, you know, my friends are they're colorblind, these two brothers, but they're musical geniuses. So they're lacking some eyesight, but their ears, you know, their hearing is heightened. So I think with psychic and healing capabilities, I think that's the same. You know, they just have a heightened sense of that talent, an ability and sensitivity. But I do think placebo is everything. You know, they talk about how if you're taking a placebo drug, thinking it's an antidepressant, expecting and believing that this pill is going to elevate your mood, even if it's just a sugar pill and won't do anything to your biology, if you take it, believe and expect, and you give meaning to this pill, 75% or more of those people will have a positive elevated mood reaction because their brain, because of their belief system, their brain is signaled to create the exact same drug and chemical that the drug would be giving them. So our brain is our best pharmacy, and our belief systems and our expectations and our thoughts are what trigger and turn on and off and release chemistry. It's amazing.
Oh, it's amazing in that case, Kelly. If it's like the doctor giving you a pill or the doctor saying a surgery, it's easier to be like, oh, I trust this person. So the placebo really works. I guess the key is how we kind of turn it in ourselves without anybody else. I mean, that seems like the big, you know, when we do that.
Exactly. Because then we could start to take inert substances with no negative side effects and have these wonderful chemical outcomes.
Not even take substances, just say, oh, I decide to heal my liver today, right?
Yeah.
And like use the mind to manufacture the proteins and the antibody, whatever is needed in the body.
Exactly. That's, you know, that's coming in like 2050 or something. No. Please, someone teach us how to do this. Yeah.
So what's interesting, I worked with many different people that are, especially, you know, women that are suffering and have so much that they want to shift and move forward in our lives. And of course, we want to keep growing. But I couldn't help but think about my mom when I was watching the film, Kelly. So 3 years ago, when my first son was not even a year old, she was diagnosed with cancer on Valentine's Day, and she was so healthy. She was running around. She was the most energetic person in the world. And then she passed in 6 weeks. So it was like, we didn't even know she had cancer. And then suddenly she had cancer, and it was a stage 4. And I witnessed this. And as someone that has been in the wellness space, you know, and she was mostly, she was eating following my program, so organic food, largely plant-based. And, you know, she was a meditator. It was bewildering to me. Mm-hmm. And then I got to this. So at first she said to me, I don't want to die. And we were doing everything that we could. But in a few weeks, in my meditations, in my heart, as painful as it was, I felt this acceptance. I felt like she was kind of done with this life in her, this body. And it was her path to move on, as mm-hmm. painful as it was. And I could feel her holding when she couldn't speak anymore. And I had to say to her, which is the hardest thing in my life, you know, it's okay to let go, Mom. It's okay. I've never said that out loud, actually. But I guess, you know, my question is, because, you know, we witness people that want to heal and they want to keep going. But, you know, it's funny with grief. Sometimes you don't know when it hits you. When it comes up. It's been 3 years and I cried. And sometimes I talk about it all day and it doesn't hit me. And sometimes it does.
Yeah.
But I guess it's like how, with all these amazing modalities and, you know, Joe Dispenza and everyone talking about infinite potentiality, there's a line though of like acceptance. And, you know, if we do believe in a higher power, which I do, you know, sometimes it's the will of God that, things go a certain way. Or, you know, you hear about the stories of Ramana Maharshi, these yogis who have intense physical pain, intense physical illness. And he says, no, this is purifying me. And he meditates through it. Mm-hmm. So I guess, you know, I don't really have a question except, Kelly, to say, you know, there's potentiality, but then there's, you know, the will of a higher power. And sometimes it's blurry to know when we fight, we keep fighting, and when we accept.
Let's Let's face it, in today's uncertain times, simple conversations about your health can have powerful results.
There's something you are likely eating every day. It can negatively affect your waistline, complexion, and overall health.
On the Dr. Gundry podcast, Stephen Gundry, a renowned cardiothoracic surgeon and New York Times best-selling author, cuts through the BS to help you make better health choices.
You have the ability to heal yourself if you give yourself the right ingredients to do it with.
Dr. Gundry has spent the last 20 years empowering people around the world to help reverse and prevent some of our most serious ailments through the power of diet and lifestyle changes.
You will change 90% of you. You will be a brand new you.
Tune in to the Dr. Gundry podcast to start your health journey. Listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and anywhere you get your podcasts.
Because I'm Dr. Gundry, and I'm always looking out for you.
Hey, beauties, you've heard me talk about how important digestion is over the years, and I have an amazing product for you that really does help your digestion day in and day out. It is called the Feel Good Digestive Enzymes, and they are enzymes that you take right before you eat. So you would take them right before lunch, right before dinner, and what they do is they help to break down your food better. It helps to digest the protein, the carbs, and the fat. And also to break down fiber, because fiber, especially if you're not used to eating a lot of plant food, can make you bloated, as well as candida. So the enzymes break everything down so that you get more nutrients from your food, which makes you healthy and beautiful and strong and revitalized. You get more nutrients, and it also helps you digest faster so that it helps to prevent bloating. So it's an amazing product, and I've been a huge fan of digestive enzymes for a long time. And then we formulated our own, which have very high quantities of lipase, for instance, to break down fat and all these strains. So it's a really balanced, amazing formula. You can check it out over at mysaluna.com, and you can use the code wellness15 for 15% off all supplements and skincare. So check it out, mysaluna.com, wellness15.
I know, it's so hard. Thank you for sharing that. And I can't even imagine. I mean, I really can't, especially happening that fast and in someone who seemingly has done everything right, you know, and is so healthy of spirit. And it just doesn't make sense to me. And, you know, I would probably need to do endless documentaries on exploring that, because I do want to crack the code. I do want to understand why. We posed the question in the film, like, you know, if... So I understand, like, you know, maybe unhealed past trauma and environmental toxicity and you know, stress, emotional stress. We talk about how much stress just wears down the immune system and, yes. and allows the environment for things like cancer and other things to pop up. We talk about kids, you know, why do kids come in to this world with leukemia or
sure.
you know, cystic fibrosis or whatever it is? It just doesn't make sense when you're talking about the psychological factors. So... And Greg says, you know, Greg Braden says, we just yes. don't know, you know, and Michael Beckwith says, you know, sometimes people choose to come into this life to be our greatest teachers. We just had a really dear family friend who had been battling brain cancer for 5 years. She was 15 years old and she just passed away. And it's like, I'm not there day to day, but it's just like, you know, we just, why don't we know? Why can't we crack the code? And cancer is especially tricky because there's 1,000 different causes and the same diagnosis can be caused by 1,000 different things in different humans, you know? So it's just, I don't know. I wish I knew the answer, you know? But I think you didn't even ask a question really, but I think, you know, acceptance and there is such a spiritual, to me, all healing is a spiritual journey.
Yes.
Know? And yes. for you and your mother, you know?
Exactly. And you know, from the yogic standpoint, which is rooted in this idea of reincarnation, where we come back many, many times, you know, that's how Yogananda, your great yoga master, would explain the childhood, you know, person that has leukemia, saying, oh, it's a tendency from another life. And, you know, with my mom, this body had served her and she was going to move on. But again, we don't know, but that resonates with me because it takes away this idea, like this is all we have, and this idea of unfairness.
Yes.
But again, we don't know. There's different theories out there, of course.
Yeah. And I feel like I totally believe that we come back many times. I believe that we know what we're getting into when we come here, and we forget when we come into the physical incarnation. Or we forget as we get older. I think children are still very close to it. But that still doesn't make it any easier for the ones left behind, like us, and when we're missing those people, you know.
So one of the yogic beliefs that I love, Kelly, along this idea is that we choose our mother and then we choose our parents and our situation. And I had shared this with my mother. And the last thing she said to me when she could still talk was, "You picked me, remember?"
It was just this, just felt really powerful to acknowledge that. And then we learn and, you know, things keep going.
Yeah. Wow. That's the last thing she said. I mean, that's just kind of like, is the great reminder, right?
Yeah. But, you know, as mothers, Kelly, we learn so much from our babies too. You know, I just feel like, they're so close, and there's, you know, to the other world, and they haven't been conditioned. And it's amazing just to sit and present. And your daughter's a year
or a year and a half. Yeah.
And just to sit in the presence of these teachers is such a, you know, I mean, I feel like we should be studying the psychology of children more.
Yeah, totally.
What they can teach us.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, that's, everybody's like, when, you know, are you doing Heal 2 and what's your next project? I'm like, my project right now is just really trying to be present for my daughter. So all of this stuff I know about subconscious programming, I'm like, I just need to be present so I don't, you know, give her some limited programming, you know, that she has to unpack for the rest of her life, you know? So I'm just doing my best.
Oh, God. Okay. I think you're coming in more awake, more conscious than most moms out there. So I think you're doing just great.
Thank you. I hope. But yeah, they're such great teachers. And I love, like, you know, we look at our babies and we're just like, they can do no wrong. Even when they're throwing a tantrum, we just know, we have this awareness that they're just learning to express. They're exercising they're learning so much, so fast, like in a crazy amount. And I love, like, if we could hold our inner child, like we revere and really honor our children and give them the space to be vulnerable and messy and not perfect and learning and making mistakes and falling down as they're walking. I mean, we live in such a unforgiving society right now, and we're so hard on ourselves, and we don't allow mistakes and learning. And so I think she's taught me most to, like, go back and just be like, okay, be more gentle on myself.
Mm.
We were all that innocent child at one point, you know, flailing and learning and making mistakes. And we need to allow ourselves that permission, through our entire lives, you know, and that care and that space.
Yes. Yes. So Kelly, here at Soluna, we have, what we call our four cornerstone philosophy, which is food, body, emotional well-being / mental health and spiritual growth. And a lot of times when I talk to this about people, people be like, oh, food, I get that. Body is, you know, everything not food related. So how we sleep, how we exercise, supplements, so on. Emotional well-being, people get that too. Western psychology, right? But then the spiritual part, I say, to me, that's, you know, I guess the broad definition is how we, I define it as a deeper understanding of ourselves, right? And removing blocks to love, just, you know, it's not about religion, but it's about connecting inward with our spirit. So I have an interesting question for you. This popped into my head when I was going on my walk today, and you had said it earlier, Kelly, all of healing is about spirituality. So what about the atheists out there, or the people that close down to this concept of something greater, right? Because I love these scientists, Bruce Lipton, Greg Braden, I believe he's a geologist, where they're in Einstein. It comes to a point where we're like, we know what we know. But then there's this, you know, quantum physics has, you know, the spooky principle, where there's just things that cannot be explained, the observer principle. They defy the laws of Newtonian physics. Mm-hmm. So do you feel that unless someone opens up to this idea that, you know, this is a tricky question, but I guess I'm asking because I have some relatives who are atheists, mm-hmm. right? And then, you know, they think some of what I do is woo-hoo. But I guess, do you think that's a necessary component to heal? in your work? Have you seen people when you were doing the film that were still atheists, but were able to do the placebo effect, or, you know, just in your opinion, do you think?
Yeah, I think that, you know, we talk about it. There's always these anomalies where someone, you know, is just a total, it's like the asshole neighbor. Excuse my French for anyone that
totally, I get it.
Who like smokes, drinks, does everything wrong in the four pillars, right? And he's just, you know, not like knows he's probably an atheist, and not to say atheists are assholes, but just in the example of the guy who literally does everything to the opposite of what we would recommend, living to 106 years old and nobody can explain it, you know, and there's something, there's something to be said about someone who, I don't think, I guess the answer is, I don't think it's a prerequisite to believe in God to be able to heal. I think that it's available to everybody, and you could have this defiant attitude, where you just enjoy life so much. And even that might look like an angry guy smoking cigarettes or whatever, but that just brings him joy. He doesn't hold on to anything. He's not stressed. He's just expresses his emotions freely. And, you know, and because of his genetic constitution, you know, he is just a bull, you know, and he survived. Yeah. So I don't think it's prerequisite. I do feel that there's, you know, I love Anita Morjani's story in the film. Oh. And it's a long one, but I'll just sum it up. Basically, cancer, was on her deathbed, went into a coma, had a near-death experience, went to the other side, you know, basically melted into source energy, which is a love that she was beyond human word description. It encountered her father, who in life had the most, they just had the, you know, the butting heads relationship, lots of tension. And there was no animosity. Everything was forgiven. They just like, and she realized that the reason she had cancer is every decision she had made in her physical life was made out of fear.
Yes.
And so because she went to the other side and felt the magnitude and the love and remembered through that, you know, from whence she came, you know, the source energy that we all are. She came back into her physical body and she healed within like 3 to 5 weeks of
her body didn't match the new belief system.
Exactly. And her body just, you know, reconfigured to the new software system that had been downloaded, which is without fear, and that she knows that we have no fear of death, and that we are all love and connected beyond imagination. So, I love that story. And that to me sums up.
Yeah. Was she spiritual before that experience? Did she have a meditation practice, or was she, I know she, wasn't she a doctor? Was she, or I can't remember.
What I remember most is she was, you know, raised in Hong Kong. So she was very Westernized, education, but her very traditional Hindi family with that wanted to give her an arranged marriage. So I think she kind of shunned her spirituality actually, and wanted to, you know, be more Westernized and, modern. And, so, you know, all of that went out the window and there was no definitions. Now, you know, she was fearing so much what she ate. I love this part of the story too. She had so much fear around what she ate because she lost her best friend to cancer. And so she didn't want to eat sugar. She didn't want to eat too much. She didn't want to do it. So she was then so rigid after that experience that she actually, had so much fear that she developed cancer. And now she eats ice cream. She eats whatever she wants, whenever she wants. Obviously in moderation, she's very aware of how it makes her body feel, but she's like, if I'm going to eat the ice cream and I'm going to enjoy it, you know, she doesn't fear that sugar is going to cause. And there's just so much more balance and appreciation for life, which is what, you know, the purpose is.
Sometimes we can get so obsessed with one as, you know, when I started getting into healing with food, then it can go the other way, the orthorexia, the obsession with everything being perfect. And that creates a lot of stress, like you said too, Kelly. So it's just, I feel like there's this softening that happens when we go on the healing path and not feeling so rigid and uptight, because that's the stress hormones and that's the stress chemicals as well coming in.
Exactly. And I like to say, you summed it up perfectly, that rigidity, that stress, that resistance. I mean, we could give so many names to every area of our life. You know, if we call sickness dis-ease,
yes.
our purpose here, our homeostasis, our natural state is ease. Flow, yes. Grace. Yes. So when we have that stress and perfection and rigidity and resistance and it shouldn't be this way, we are causing our own dis-ease. So to me, health is ease.
I love that. It's just a, it just feels good. It feels like a river, like a nice way to think of it.
Exactly.
So Kelly, one thing, another thing that I was like, oh my gosh, in the film, I, you know, it would be amazing if everybody had access to medical intuitives and Reiki healers. We talk about food deserts, right? Where there's like these places where people just don't have access to good food. They don't have access to organic. So, you know, the way our healthcare system works and the way most insurance program works is you go to the doctor, it'll cover some of the pills and the, you know, the medicine, the Western medicine. But unfortunately, people don't have access to all these alternative, you know, so now alternative healing modalities. Of course, acupuncture has been more studied. I think some plans cover acupuncture or massage. But what do we do, Kelly? How do we get this out to more people? I mean, in the future, it'd be amazing if insurance covered some of this. What do you think's needed? Do you think there's more research, like what Joe Dispenza is doing? Or how do we turn the system?
Yeah, I think it's a combination. I think technology is finally catching up to start to prove that these ancient philosophies and these ancient modalities and, you know, Ayurveda and Chinese medicine and meditation. Now Joe Dispenza is, you know, proving with measuring brain waves and everything and energy in the room and in the electromagnetic field that we can really shift things and cause healing effects with meditation. And I think so there's technology is starting to back up science to present to these health insurance companies that actually show that preventative medicine and these alternative modalities actually save them money in the long term.
Yes.
So I think that will be, I think the consumer, so many wellness is such a wave right now. And I think that that's going to help because so many more people
yes.
explore these modalities and then the consumer will demand that more are covered. And, you know, I've talked to your husband about this, but I'm involved. We started this I envisioned this like online community where people could share stories and resources of what they did to heal certain conditions.
Yes.
Just get everybody talking so that people can help each other down the path. Like, okay, my friend healed stage 3C ovarian cancer in 6 months. She took these supplements. She had this kind of
yes.
doctor, this type of nutritionist. She wore cold caps during chemo, like all these little things to share information. And so I didn't have the bandwidth to do it at the time, but then I got aligned with these two people that started this company called WellSet, and it's this online booking. It's basically the Airbnb for alternative and preventative medicine practitioners.
Yes.
Because if you think about it, we get our healers and people through word of mouth, but
totally.
If you're in Kansas or if you're traveling to Chicago, like I want to know the best person in that area. So I'm so excited because it's launched now, which was a little challenging during COVID, but basically it's a place where people can find vetted and trusted practitioners. They can see who their friends use. They can see who people who've healed from certain things, who they use, and then you can search conditions. So it's a trusted way. One of the main goals of this platform is to show the data to these health insurance companies and actually partner with them to see, look, we have millions of people in this country and globally that are, you know, repeat customers of craniosacral, and their medications are dropping because of it, you know, and just show all this data, with the practitioner. So I think it's a combination of all three of those things, you know, technology, you know, these online communities and then, you know, the consumer demand.
Where do we find more information about it? It sounds amazing. Is it
said
it's really launched?
It's totally live. We've got practitioners. So we vet practitioners. We do background checks. We do certification so people can feel trusted.
Yes.
And then like you can have your circle. I can have my circle. So people can go on and see who Kelly recommends. It's really cool. So it's like digitized word of mouth, but really safe. And so it's called WellSet and it's just wellset.co. And if you're, whether you're a client searching for someone or you're a practitioner, you can have your practice on there and booked directly through the platform.
Wow. It feels like the natural extension of Heal. Cause again, I watch it and I think, you know, again, how do people, you know, find these people or how they could help them? So this is the perfect.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, totally.
I feel really hopeful about that, Kelly, because it's like power to the people, right? Because we think, oh, big, you know, big food, the big food industry. But look at what's happening. More people are choosing organic and choosing plant-based as more information comes out. So even though big pharma is so powerful, I feel like more, you know, the more people learn about these modalities and seek them and want them. And like you said, the insurance companies can start to shift their policy and they're part of it.
Totally. It has to shift. So.
I love that. Yeah. So that's something you're working on as well as being a mom, which is a huge job day to day. What else are you excited about right now, love, at the end of 2020? What's in your heart?
Yeah. You know, I thought this year, you know, my heart goes out to so many people that are struggling that, you know, have been crushed by the economy's pause and this pandemic and anyone who's lost a loved one because of COVID. I mean, there's been so much tragedy this year, but I also think that I always just like, it's one of my favorite cheesy cliches, but it's breakdown before breakthrough. I think you need a big kind of wake up, shake up, breakdown for people to really wake up and want a different way of being. You know, we really are hypnotized by media. And even pharmaceutical commercials, it's like, it's mind blowing to me that they play this beautiful music and have this like loving family skipping around the house or whatever. And then it's like, you know, you're taking something for psoriasis, like a skin rash, but it causes lymphoma or death. I'm like, are people paying attention? No, because we're just hypnotized.
The music's so pretty. You don't hear that part.
There's butterflies and people are kissing and walking up the stairs and putting lotion on in the pool.
Right.
So, you know, so it's just, it's, I think we, and it's painful, and it's tragic, but things are, we are not working in so many areas of our society. And we need to snap out of it, and it's going to take something pretty major to make us do that. So I think 2021 we'll start on this trajectory, but 2020 was the shakeup, you know, and we're.
Yeah, I agree. It brought up a lot of shadows, but shadows that needed to be healed.
Exactly.
And also just, you know, having people quarantined, sitting with themselves and peeling away layers and seeing, you know, actually don't need this as much. And, you know, why, you know, the discomfort that comes in.
Totally. So, yeah, exactly.
We bury parts of us. We think things come up. But then actually, when I was watching your film, like I started thinking about, you know, fighting. And then with her, with my mom, it was just like at one point it had to be acceptance, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And that acceptance we talk about, like, that's the first step in healing. And that's the hardest thing to navigate. It's like people don't want to accept. People want to resist because they feel like acceptance is like surrender is literally giving up. But it's there's a part of, you know, acceptance is the necessary step, whether it's like the fact that you're not supposed to heal because acceptance is the healing, letting go back to the other realm or whatever it is. You know, you're this life here is complete, you know. Or acceptance is letting go of that resistance of thinking things should be a different way. What everybody said in the film, who had healed from really gnarly things like a stage 4 cancer or MS or something, is that it turned out to be their greatest gift and they wouldn't change a thing because it woke them up and reconnected them to their purpose, or it, you know, woke them up to past trauma that they needed to accept and let go.
Wow. Oh my gosh. Goosebumps again. You know, it's like, you know, everything in life, if we see it as more of a teaching or these things are healings, like, you know, I think it's one of the teachings of Buddhism, right? And just instead of, oh, this sucks, I don't want this to be here, that resistance, which, you know, is how a lot of us have been trained when we grow up to think about things.
Totally.
Great healing to come from that.
Yeah.
Well, Kelly, thank you so much for being with us today. You have such a bright light. And I was just so drawn to you when we met and we connected. And I just, I'm so happy and grateful that you're in the world doing your work.
Thank you. I feel the exact same way about you. instant connection. And you are one of the most vibrant beings I've ever met. So thank you. I'm honored to be on.
Thank you, my love. Well, beauties, I hope you enjoyed that interview as much as I enjoyed doing the interview. What a wonderful, beautiful light Kelly is. For more information on her, on Heal, on other podcasts you might enjoy, please head over to mysaluna.com for the show notes for this show.
And we will be back here Thursday, as always, for our next Q&A podcast. Besides the show notes over at Soluna, you can check out our other resources, recipes, meditations, our products. Also, I'm on Instagram every day. Love to connect with you more. And my handle's @_KimberlySnyder. So all that being said, thank you so much. And I will see you back here Thursday.